Hi, I'm Nate Byrne, your friendly neighbourhood weather presenter. Hoping you're having a fine day. You're listening to 3CR Community Radio, 855 AM.
Panoply, panorama, panpipe, pansy, aha, pansexual, knowing no boundaries of sex or gender. Sound interesting? Then join Sally on Sundays at noon for Out of the Pan. All those gender questions making you think too hard? Whether it's transgender, bisexual, polyamorous or beyond, we'll throw those questions into the pan and cook up the answers for you. So go on, push that gender envelope, only on 3CR 855am digital and 3cr.org.au.
3CR, 855 AM, 3CR Digital, 3cr.org.au, 3CR On Demand, Out of the Pan with Sally, first broadcasting noon through 1 o'clock every Saturday afternoon, Australian Eastern Standard Time at this time, and will be for another 4 weeks. Then we'll go on to Daylight Savings Time. Hooray! I'm Sally Goldner. I'm your host for the show. I use the pronouns she and her. Welcome to listeners of all genders, including, but not limited, to ladies and gentlemen. 3CR proudly broadcasts from the lands of the Kulin Nations at the intersection of the Wurundjeri and Bunurong peoples. Pay respects to elders past, present and emerging. A special welcome to any Aboriginal, Torres Strait Islander, First Nations people tuning in. And all the lands were stolen and never ceded. Always was, always will be Aboriginal land. Well, lots of ways to get in touch with the show and tell you, of course, what's on the show. Gee, there was some news about something bisexual during the week. I wonder if I might talk about it. Yes, Mitch Brown, come to that in a second. There's a couple of other issues that I suppose need attention, and I will give the content numbers in a second, because when we get to them, I think we're going to need them. Content, the phone numbers for support for content notes, that is. But if you want to get in touch with the show about anything, out of the pan 855 at gmail.com, SMS 61456 751 215. Posts on Mastodon, Blue Sky and Twitter, Instagram going up shortly at Sal Gold Said So, and that's the bottom line. And posts on Facebook, my page, Sally Goldner, and Out of the Pan, 3CR, 855 AM, Melbourne. Postal address, PO Box 1277, Collingwood, 3066. Any opinions I express on this program are strictly my own. We'll give the content note numbers, being QLife, including Switchboard in Victoria and Tasmania, but National, of course, on 1800 184 527. And Rainbow Door, 1-800-729-367, SMS Rainbow Door, 0480-017-246. And we opened up today with Shane Howard from the album of way, way, way back, his second solo album after Goanna, River and When the Well Runs Dry. Sometimes it feels like it does, but there are some times when your cup is fulleth. And, well, certainly during the week, in the midweek, Mitch Brown, I think, filled a lot of people, good people's cup, through on so many levels. And first things first, Mitch, congratulations on your courage, authenticity, calmness and timing in terms of your disclosure as being a bisexual man. The first out bisexual man, part of past or present AFL men's players. Let's make that distinction. A lot of headlines didn't quite get it right, and we want to acknowledge those women in AFL who have come out as bisexual, lesbian, and, to my knowledge, at least two non-binary players as well. So let's get that one sorted. But yeah, Mitch, amazing, seems to have handled it well. It's the biggest thing for years on this show. I've been saying that it was going to take a lot of people to do it together. Mitch has done it all by himself, and that deserves tremendous, tremendous credit. I think that's incredible, and whether, it's got to open the gates, so to speak, to some extent, whether it's a trickle gate, a stream gate, or a flood gate of past and present AFL men's players, but not just players, officials, umpires, administrators, etc., whether they're going to come out as gay or bi now, who knows, but at least, there's not that pressure of being the first. So Mitch, you is legend. You kick goals, mate, and all that sort of thing. But I deliberately, did that, slightly macho blokey Australian voice. And, it's interesting when you listen to Mitch's story about how difficult it was having to constantly listen to macho blokey stuff in the dressing rooms and homophobic stuff and the hyper-masculinity of AFL men's. Wow, it must have been incredibly difficult. You know, we have enough personal stories and documented evidence of how difficult it is to not be oneself on sexual orientation and romantic orientation, gender identity and expression. And yet when it's that extreme environment and it's not you, it's, you know, incredibly, you know, even more difficult. And having to listen to the things he listened to, which I don't think bear repeating, you know, and all that sort of stuff, just incredible. There's been some, you know, a range of media responses. So there's been a couple of good articles in The Guardian, who have seemed to have led the way well. There's also been a bad one in The Guardian, which I think I need to talk about. yeah, obviously just very, very welcoming. And on a personal level, you know, look, it's not the biggest thing, but as a bi person, you know, the fact that the first man to come out as, in big inverted commas, other than heterosexual in AFL men's is bi, there's a little bit of pride in that. And maybe that flowed through to something, which I'll share later in the program. So, yeah. Very, very amazing and well done to Mitch. Now, just, yeah, it's just been a huge week on that front. And we need some good news in queer communities at the moment. You know, we are, sad as it is to say, seeing the old Martin Bormann thing, adapting those words, first they came for, well, they, those who would oppose human rights, dignity, fairness and social justice, first they came for the trans, and now they seem to be coming for the bi. Whilst I don't, obviously, I'm not saying obviously that this would have been Mitch Brown's intention. I think he's given bi a big boost for people themselves, and also for indirectly in the striving, if you want to use that word, against RNWJs. Now, I know there's been lots of trolling and things on the internet of Mitch, which is, you know, sort of, you know, really woeful. The situation's not good. Now, I also, just an apology, the article that I'm not happy with is not in The Guardian, but it's written by someone who used to write for them, and I want to come back to that as well. It's just, this is understandably exciting and emotional. So the other part of it, of course, is after the situation and discussion with Ivar Rankine and the suspension, Mitch Brown has chosen to come out now. That, I think, I think says something as well, that he's decided just to dig deep for the courage and come back at this time is, really important. And one Guardian article of the headline of which is Mitch Brown's words spoke to the queer footy community at a time when the AFL put it last, by Sarah Guiney, G-U-I-N-E-Y. Well done, Sarah, who identifies themselves, I will say, as queer. Because, and it says in this article, quote, because that's the thing about the queer community, where we apostrophe RE. So, Sarah talking for, I'm going to say, I don't know whether her or themselves, we're no strangers to any of this hate mongering. It doesn't get easier to weather and it doesn't get less painful, but we've learned where to find the salve, the ointment. The community is best when we wrap our arms around each other, coax out a laugh and sit with the reminder we're not alone. And then goes on to say, but in the AFL, that community does not yet exist for gay, bisexual or queer male players. That much is clear from what Brown shared of his experience. You know, and that's interesting in itself. I might have thought there may have been a, you know, in inverted commas, underground type of network for gay, bisexual, queer men, but no. That's curious. And that needs to be thought about. Sarah goes on to say, but this too can change. Footy speaks the language of community, understands the ebbs and flows. Bridging the gap would not take that big a leap if there is a concerted effort from the players. And it seems there is some, there has been good reaction from a lot of players. From most of the clubs have now put out, the 18 clubs of the AFL have put out a statement. I think we've got at least 16 by now. I haven't quite caught up with any news this morning. And this article goes on to say the AFL doesn't yet have a soft landing place for closeted men's players. The Rainbow Inclusion Plan was released in 2024, too late for Brown. The frequency of slurs needs to be dealt with more effectively. Bigger cultural change enacted and a return to the promise zero tolerance would be more than welcome, but there's movement. And, and then Sarah says, at a time when we could dwell on the work to be done, Brown has reminded us we can also shine a light on the positives. So it's not a story about hate, it's a story about love and what love looks like in action, hope for a better, more kind future for Australian rules football. And then she finishes the article, she/they. And more than anything, it's a story about a queer community that proudly, joyously includes Mitch Brown, ex-AFL player and bisexual man. Yep, well, let's hope that Mitch won't just be the only one from now on. I think there's only one song I could play as I need a breather. And another surprise, surprise moment. Here is it's close to the bye anthem of this show, from co-written and performed by two of my dear friends, James and Pete. And it is Getting By. 3CR 855 AM, 3CR digital, 3CR.org.au, 3CR on demand. Out of the Pan with Sally.
Bye. Out of the Pan thanks Go Kindly for their sponsorship of this program. Go Kindly creates high-quality, locally-made bedding, donating 50% of profits to support women and gender-diverse people experiencing housing stress. Check out gokindly.com.au and take their pillow quiz.
Hello, 3CR listeners. I'm Giselle Hannah from Accent of Women and Asia Pacific Currents, and I'm appealing to you to subscribe to 3CR to keep radical voices on air. I've been a volunteer and broadcaster at 3CR for over 20 years, and I can say categorically that radical voices like ours that bring you stories of extraordinary, incredible women from across the world leading grassroots struggles, well, those voices just aren't welcome in the mainstream media. You won't hear about the struggle against Samsung's human rights abuses against its workers in South Korea. You won't hear about the plight of the Myanmar resistance against the coup on any other station, at least not the way we tell it here at 3CR. So be a comrade and go to 3cr.org.au/subscribe or call the station on 9419 8377.
3CR, 8:55 AM, 3CR Digital, 3cr.org.au, 3CR On Demand, Out of the Pan with Sally, first broadcasting noon through one every Sunday afternoon. Thanks for your company. And, well, Mitch Brown, in the news, there's two more articles to come in and lots of comments from Roving Reporter as the technology works. Roving loved his very thoughtful words, especially acknowledging his privilege as a white male. Do you know why he chose a podcast? I don't know that. I know there was an interview in the Daily Oz, which I think is a West Australian newspaper, and that's where it spread. But don't know why he chose a podcast. Actually, I'll go with my gut. It's just come to me. Coffee is kicking in. Maybe to do a podcast meant that he didn't have to do some sort of press conference with all sorts of questions being fired at him. And I don't think he's given any follow-up interviews since. So I think that's actually a very shrewd approach to do it that way, which I think protects him as well and, then gives people time to digest the news. So that would be my gut, but it's only a total guess. There's another good article in The Age today. I've got to get to today's papers, acknowledging the homophobic sentiment at grassroots level and where the seed is planted, according to the academic and past queer players. Well, that's certainly true. And look, as someone who worked on a program coordinated by the Victorian Equal Opportunity Human Rights Commission, as it is now known, over 10 years ago, the Fair Go Sport campaign, certainly things happen at the grassroots, but things can change there too. But also, of course, we know, I think, on a show like this, that we know that the sources of, I'm going to say homophobia specifically, are elements of religion, politics, media. At times we'll try to drum those up. It's the big powers of society, but it also shows that maybe the grassroots has the power. Certainly agree that blokey culture needs to be deboganised. We'll get that into the Merriam-Webster Dictionary next year, Roving. I think that's the winner. It's your words, but you'll get the credit. Deboganising. Yes, let's do that. And, you've popped the link to that article in. Well, I'm going to get to that I work through the various bits of media to work through. Lots to go through. Another good article in The Guardian that I want to mention, Jonathan Horn, who is the Guardian's main AFL writer, and always writes pretty well when analysing the matches on and all sorts of things. And, Jonathan Horn says, as a footy writer, I keep a shambolic database of current and former footballers, and I know lots of journalists would do this next bit, it's a kind of buoy, as Americans would say, boy, B-U-O-Y, I can grab onto when I'm up against a nasty deadline. Four or five paragraphs, a sentence, something. And so Jonathan said, here's what I wrote of him. Nathan's twin, married to a netballer, unlucky with injuries, went and played in the AMOs. And he said, this is scratching the surface. Well, obviously so, because, you know, the thing is, if you're battling within yourself on something, these are my thoughts, you can't be your productive best in the rest of your life, whether it's football, performing arts, rocket science, hairdressing, you know, your brain's just clogged. And that can, you know, not only apply to sexual romantic orientation, gender identity, all that sort of thing, neurodivergence, all these sorts of things. It also mentions how at 19 he brought up his sexuality with a teammate and the conversation was laughed away, which is sad. And I must remember that, you know, in the Danny Laidley documentary on Stan nearly 12 months ago already, or is it 2 years? Danny, one of Danny's then teammates, said I could see there was something bothering her, but didn't know how to support. Not knowing how to support, but outright rejecting is not good. I'm not going to repeat the much words that have been quoted about showers. I just don't see the point. Came out. And no one wants to be the superhero to do it. Well, although probably not, I doubt his intention, Mitch has become that person. And, this article from Jonathan Horn ends with, there's the courage of Brown to speak with clarity, optimism and with grace, qualities the AFL has been lacking this past fortnight. Hear, hear. Some not so good media here, in my opinion. Most of this article is good, but I'm going to come to why it's not so good at the end and also more. This is from Gary Nunn in the Age 9 media. He says it's groundbreaking that he came out as bisexual rather than gay. Well, why does it have to be rather, Gary? You know, if that's who he is, that's who he is. Bisexual face discrimination within the gay community. Gee, yeah, this program's been talking about that for 15 years, which is why I left another station at the time, although that station is improving. Brown has smashed some stereotypes. Eric Dennison, who's well noted as one of the leaders on queer and sports at the moment, but also I want to pay tribute to Carolyn Simons, who did so much work on this for many, many years on these issues of queer and sport. And Brown has decided to, talk about the, the culture and all that sort of thing. Brown's had support from an ex-wife, and who says that he's living the values of the kind of man I want our two boys to grow up to be, men that care and are proud of who they are. Yep, that's cool. Current wife is very proud. And this is then where the article goes off track. And this is not the first time that this writer has not got it right on by. The unheard voice of the woman he was married to or the woman he's currently with. Now, obviously, there's an understanding for so many partners of people who come out as where person A comes out as any of, I'll just say LGBTQA. I won't bring intersex into this. Different matter, in my opinion. Don't feel I can speak for it. And partners can feel, betrayed or have their life turned upside down. In this case, the woman that could be married to a man, and talks about the issues. Some people do become allies. And unfortunately, Nunn goes on to say he's specialised in interviewing the female partners of men who come out, their partners don't get sympathy. Well, that's not right, but let's not get into blaming anyone. And unfortunately, quotes a service which is based in Sydney and someone else by coincidence, separate to the Mitch Brown's story pointed out to me this week, I'm sort of reluctant to name it. It's Woman Partners of Gay Bi Men Services based in inner Sydney. And if you look at the website, it just comes across as very 30 years out of date, patronising, oh, the poor wives thing. And I have to say, when I looked at this site this week, my first thought was TERF. Sorry, not sorry. And the thing is, it's not the first time Gary Nunn has not really spoken for bi people. Yours truly and others around the country wrote to him when he was working with The Guardian a few years ago about that article, and we never got a response from anyone. And I don't know, I don't care if someone, how someone identifies. Gary, I don't know how Gary identifies. If you're not bi, don't talk for us. And if you are, maybe you've got to look at something here because it's not right. And then last, I'm going to come to, last to the article that Roving has, sent me from a couple of days ago. Probably have seen it. It is by Eric Dennison, but I'll have a look at it during the next track. And, we'll go through that as well. But welcome your comments. See if there's any more to come in and go through. Looks like there is, why can't the female partners of the male players also initiate change too? That's a good question. Why can't it be a positive win-win solution? Well, I want to touch on that before the end of the day. And yes, I'll get to your last message as well during the show. I promise you on that, Roving. There's a couple of difficult topics to talk to amongst all this good news as well. What are we going to play next? Let's just pull something out. One way or another, I think we'll go with this particular track, if I can get the CD to work and all that sort of thing, because we're having one of those technological days by the look of it. Or equipment days. Hello, John Oliver, the founder of Joy, who used to talk to the equipment. I'm doing it. Maybe it's hereditary or something. But let's have a listen to Hunters and Collectors from their album Living in Large Rooms and Lounges. And here's a track that was on one of their earlier albums, Everything's on Fire. 3CR, 855 AM, 3CR Digital, 3cr.org.au, 3CR On Demand, Out of the Pan with Sally.
This song's about temptation and guilt. It's called Everything is on Fire. We'll be right back.
tumblers while you're waiting for the fireworks to start. Things on fire. Do it now. Blow it up yourself. Unbutton the butcher in your heart.
Everything's on fire.
3CR 855 AM, 3CR Digital, 3CR.org.au, 3CR On Demand, Out of the Pan, with Sally first broadcasting noon through one every Sunday afternoon. Thanks for your company. We just heard from Hunters and Collectors, Everything's on Fire, from the album Living in Large Rooms and Lounges. Or perhaps we could, roving reporter, you can invent words. Maybe it's living, because of course it's a double live CD. Live at the Continental Cafe, may it be ever forever blessed, and live in the pubs, pub grub, and something like that. All right. Let's come back to one. I'm going to stick with this today because it is so important. I want to quote this article by Eric Dennison, who now is one of the leaders in queer and sports type of research. And I think this one from The Age is worth quoting. 2014, the AFL's CEO appeared on national television alongside leaders of four other major sports, find a historic commitment to eliminate homophobic behaviour. The league promised to become a world leader in tackling the problem, and Eric writes, quote, "It has failed." Instead, the AFL has left players like Brown and the many current players who must feel they hide their sexuality to work in unsafe environments, my emphasis. That is why the public congratulations from AFL leaders ring hollow. Brown and others instead deserve an apology for being forced to play in a harmful environment that the AFL promised to fix. End quote. Maybe it can do it now. What I like about this article by Eric Dennison, he talks about the research he and others have done. Something he's found to be effective is Pride Games. And he says, like many people, I was skeptical of the benefits of hosting them. That's why we conducted three separate studies to test their effectiveness, including one that followed clubs over 6 years. We have consistently found players at clubs that hosted Pride Games used about 50% less homophobic language than other clubs. A key reason why Pride Games are so effective is they give captains and leaders a reason or an excuse to start conversations about culture. These events also give players permission to challenge the constant use of homophobic language, which is typically excused as harmless, in inverted commas, banter. End quote. And it's now time for change. Yep, bang on, Eric. Behavioural scientist, faculty with arts at Monash University. There it is. I think we've covered it well. There's probably plenty more angles that we could cover on this. Probably going to be a watch and see type of thing. All right, there are a couple of other stories that do need to be covered. Sadly, we sort of swing to the other end of things. This is where I'll invoke content notes for the first one for racism, the marches that are taking place this weekend. What exactly their objectives? What are they being proud of to be Australian and white? It does seem hopefully that these people have tripped themselves up a bit with the incident, and with all great respect to the two police who have died and one who are injured. No one deserves to be shot dead in that way, whatever anyone thinks. Hopefully this is bad timing by these, I'll say people who are organising these so-called marches. And, you know, it really is quite appalling. It was great to see the Victorian Minister for Multicultural Affairs put out a statement on Friday. Quote, "We stand with all Victorians, especially those from multicultural communities who are concerned about the rallies planned across Australia on Sunday and the motivations of the people who organised them. Our message is clear. Whoever you are, whoever you love, whoever you pray to, you are welcome here in Victoria. You deserve peace, safety and respect. Generations of migrant families have helped build Victoria, contributing to our economy, enriching our culture and strengthening the communities we share. From small businesses to cultural festivals, places of worship to sporting clubs, our multicultural communities represent the very best of our state's values. Victorians completely reject racism and hate those who preach it will never win, because multiculturalism is one of the most precious parts of our state. It's what makes us Victorian." In media release from Ingrid Stitt, the Minister for Multicultural Affairs, and also ageing, and it's kind of relevant, Minister for Mental Health. Listening to the sort of nonsense and vague stuff that's being spouted is, right on the button. The comments are, right on the button about what she said. Now, I decided to post this statement on my own Facebook page this morning, just before I got to posting about the show today. And, there's a couple of good comments from my friends, regardless of who it is. One is, "Dog whistling has always been a tool of extremists. It's headed why the 31st of August protest should concern us. And it says dog whistling has always been the tool of extremists. This is a meme from somewhere in, I'll get the exact source for you shortly. In the 1930s, the Nazis didn't come out and say, we want to commit genocide. They said, we were protecting German culture and defending the homeland from outsiders. These phrases on the surface sounded patriotic, but there was an agenda beneath to destroy, etc. And so it's intentional. And, and then this goes on to say that any protest that hides its organisers, pushes vague slogans, positions minorities a threat, isn't about unity, it's about division. Yeah, that's pretty on the button for me. And another, there's also a similar meme. So there's going to be all sorts of things going on today. A couple of things I want to say. First, there's also the regular Free Gaza rally at the same time in the city. So please, whoever you are, even if you're just in the city to do some shopping or go to the movies or whatever you're doing, be very, very careful. And if it's not your thing, just stay as much as you can away from it. I think it could be, very, very challenging there. And this leads, I suppose, to the second thing. I mean, I just find it worrying that we seem to be becoming more polarised and extreme on so many issues nowadays. And I don't think that's accidental. It's often been said that the real, we often hear of the world sort of placed in a perspective of left versus right, which I don't agree with. The real battle is moderation versus extremism. And often to me, the extreme left and the extreme right sound extremely similar. When we go to, regimes over time, we look at Nazi Germany and we look at Soviet Russia, and really, were they any much different? I don't think so. So I think we need to be, careful. And we look at today, I'll be very cautious in what I say, but the fact that the appearance can be given at times that TERFs and neo-Nazis seem to find common ground. Hello. There's the apparent extreme left and the apparent extreme right. Let's just get back to some moderation. But where has this idea come from that it has become polarized? Well, have certain people been writing for years that, scoffing at the sensible center? Well, who were those writers? What was their motive? Who were those people communicating that? That's worth thinking about as well. So call me an old-fashioned hippie or something, peace, love and understanding, 70s, but why can't we have that? Do we have to be, a particular background to comment on an issue in terms of just saying, hey, can't we just have kindness and respect and treat every person on the basis of how each individual behaves, not stereotype a person because they're in a group or put people, stereotype a whole group. It's just not right. And I just feel like we've lost that somewhere. I've been very reluctant to speak about some issues lately, not beyond queer because of that. I'm not going to say any more on that. Still not quite feeling comfortable and safe to speak. Part of that is my own troubles over the last years. I've had to look at what's good for my mental health. And just when things seem to be going in the right direction, that's gone backwards a bit. Can we just, I don't know, how do we at the grassroots, who I think want to do the right thing, get back our power? So power seems to be so centralized in the hands of big institutions, media. In this case, politics seems so very often to be unaccountable. On other issues, big business, how do we decentralize power again? I don't have the answers, but at least let's ask the question, perhaps. So, let's try to get some kindness back. I know that all sounds very woo-woo and peace, love and understanding, but maybe the only thing we can really do is just to quietly do it in our own lives every day and see where that takes us. We try. And I'm going to actually now seems like a good time to talk of the story that I was going to mention. This show is coming pretty much from the heart today. Last night, and here we are at 47 minutes and around 40 seconds. Here comes the wrestling reference, but it's in context, I promise you, listeners. Yours truly, I was doing ring crew and ushering for a wrestling event last night. And a couple of people weren't sure where their seats were, and I took them over, and there was a slight bit of confusion. A group of people had sat two seats across from where they needed to be, shuffled them across, the other two sat down, everybody's happy. And then the presumably cis woman says, "My gay male friend here has come to see male wrestler X." Now, I'm not going to make any insinuations about about the male wrestler and their sexuality, and I don't care either, of course. Well, the guy, it doesn't matter about the sexuality, if you want to come and enjoy, I suppose, in a respectful way, how someone's looking when they're wrestling, that's fine. And normally wouldn't say it, but I just couldn't resist. And I said, "Well, look, I have the advantage of being bi. I get to look at everyone." And the cisgender woman who I was talking to goes, "I'm bi too." And we did a bi five. And I said, "Happy Celebrate Bisexuality Month." And off we went. Sometimes, and I think that was probably because of the Mitch Brown thing feeling so up. And, we had a laugh, and hopefully, from a customer service perspective, it gave her an extra bit of an enjoyment on her night. And I hope your friend had a good time watching the wrestler in question. Seriously, this is where we can spread our ripples. Mitch Brown has done it this week. And maybe maybe there's an answer in there. I don't exactly know what it is. I never say that I have all the answers. But it's another wrestling reference. Roddy Piper used to say, "Just when you've got all the answers, I change the questions." No, seriously, it was just a very joyous moment. And I think that's maybe, there's something in that. Let's sleep on it. Or think about it while we hear from our sponsors once and messages and community announcements. Thanks, of course, to this program's sponsor, Go Kindly. In the meantime, a couple of messages, then come back, wrap up the show, tell you what's on 3CR this afternoon. 3CR, 855 AM, 3CR Digital, 3cr.org.au, 3CR On Demand, Out of the Pan with Sally.
From coast to coast, top to bottom, Night Owls on Rhythm brings you the best in Australian blues and roots-derived grooves every Tuesday night, 11 p.m. right here on 3CR 855 on your AM dial.
Happy birthday to you. Let's think about the good times and don't get feeling blue.
CR is a community radio license holder. What you hear on community radio is governed by the Community Radio Codes of Practice. The codes of practice cover matters relating to program content, including local content, news, current affairs, Australian music content, programs for children, and the responsibilities associated with broadcasting by and for the community. They also cover aspects such as community access and participation in how 3CR operates. Copies of the codes are available from our website. Go to 3cr.org.au/who-we-are.
CR 855 AM, 3CR Digital, 3cr.org.au, 3CR On Demand. That's who we are. In particular, this show is Out of the Pan, a show covering pansexual issues, knowing no boundaries of sex or gender or musical genre. We'll be having some Wendy Rule to take us out on the show today. So we had some rock, we had some sort of folky, more acoustic guitar stuff, and now we've got Wendy Rule, who in her Wiccan Pagan way fits into her own authentic self, and there's no boxes, schnoxes, and all that sort of thing. After this show finishes at 1 p.m, we have Freedom of Species, covering all things animal advocacy, vegan and vegetarian, as they always do. Rotations is coming in at 2, so who knows what's the musical surprise there today. 3CR, the station of mystery. 3 o'clock, the fabulous people from Queering the Air. I'm not sure who exactly today, but probably Madison and Atlas have got lots of things. And last week, the interview that they did with yours truly was on, so check out 3CR On Demand, and if their podcast is up on the Queering the Air page, that will be there. And then at 4 o'clock is Salaam Radio Show, through till 6. Always a great afternoon of listening, or whether it's evening or wee hours or mornings, 7 days a week, 24/7, 3CR Community Radio for you. One more thing to cover today, and again, huge content note, that is the issue, the follow-up of a shooting in the US. Now, huge content note here for transphobia. Now, let's get something right. No one should be shooting another human being in that sense. Not appropriate. Horrible that people have died. Deep condolences to family and friends. It's the reporting afterwards, which just is obviously, I think, decent people have a right to feel frustrated by. Is this the start of an epidemic of shooting by trans people? Well, funnily enough, when, cisgender men shoot people, there's never a statement of, is there an epidemic yet cisgender men shooting people? Difficult note, but it has to be said here, when, there's women, who are murdered in situations of domestic violence, do we hear about an epidemic? No. Don't even want to think how many women have been lost to domestic violence already in Australia this year. I'm pretty sure we're well over 50, and that's whatever it is. It's 50, even if it's one too many. And you can imagine that if we did say, cisgender men are on a shooting epidemic, you could hear the cries of, it's not all men, come from, shock jock wannabes and others further to the right. You could hear them from in Dandenong, from Melbourne, without a radio signal. So all I can say to trans people, allies, decent humans, is let's rebut the nonsense. Let's keep our cool and all that sort of thing, and make sure that we can keep doing that. But it is frustrating, obviously, when we have to deal with these bits of nonsense all the time. It's really, really stressful and bewildering. So I did just want to throw that note in. But as I say, in the words of our sponsor, Go Kindly. This show does come together sometimes. Look after yourself. Next week on the show, I'll be chatting with Paula Gerber about a new book she's put out as an ally to trans people. So that'll be great. And there's a couple of launch events, one at the Pride Centre and one at Readings in Carlton. So one south, one north. We've got rid of that divide already. See how easy is it? Just do two book launches. That's always a nice idea. Look forward to that. But I'll take it out today, as I said, with Wendy Rule and a track from the album The Lotus Eaters and Hecate. Thanks for tuning in to Out of the Pan. I'm Sally Goldner. Catch you next week.
Been listening to a 3CR podcast. If you found it valuable, please consider donating or subscribing to support independent community radio. To find out more, go to 3cr.org.au.